Welcome to the Thread Raiders podcast, where some of your notifications' least favorite Twitter users get together and talk about whatever pops off the top of their heads. I'm your host, Captain Sugar Bear. With me today is Shrieky.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Grifolian.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
And joining us today as our first ever guest, we have TK.
Hey, everybody. Happy to be here. I'm TK, Thread Raider, gamer, doer of all the things.
Lots of things. TK is one of our staunchest and just best friends. You know, he does a lot of promoting for the show, and we are just thrilled to have him on as our first guest. So, without further ado, I'd also like to remind you that we are sponsored by DiceBard. Check out DiceBard.com and check out their selection of metal dice, glow-in-the-dark dice. I believe they still have their rainbow dice up there. They've got gift cards that Grifolian got added to their site.
Hells yeah.
And just make sure to use the discount code THREADRAIDERS, that's all one word, THREADRAIDERS, to get free expedited shipping on your order. And just a little bit more housekeeping. As you can tell, my voice is a little messed up. I've been really sick, so bear with me. No pun intended. I knew you were going to do that, Shrieky. Nice. I just knew it. But just bear with me. I'm doing my best here. So my voice might cut in and out as I get or lose it. So just want to throw that out there. And as our special guest of the episode, TK, I would love if you would do the honors and lead us on our first topic of conversation.
The topic I have today is holiday traditions. I know some people have them, some don't. I think I have weird ones because mine are not normal. Like some people decorate the tree. Me and a few friends every year around the holidays have what we call a Friendmas.
Nice.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, what is that exactly?
A Friendmas happens between December 1st and January 31st when we can all have off work. It's, you don't buy
a non-fixed holiday. I like that.
Yeah.
The rules are you don't buy anything. You make something for someone.
Oh, that's cool.
Or you give someone something that, you know, hey, this means a lot to me. And it's always really fun. And there's normally a lot of booze involved.
Sounds like my kind of holiday.
Hell yeah.
Can we get an invite?
I need everybody to come to PA.
Ooh, I don't know.
Put the hop in a skip away for us, dude.
I don't know. I've been thinking we need to make another GoFundMe, right? Like, how many have we got going right now? So I figure I can start one of those to go over there.
Yeah, we've only got like 7 GoFundMes going right now. So I think we got an 8.
So I like that idea. So it's a rule, you cannot buy something?
Right. No buying is allowed. Like for me last year, because I have a 3D printer, I made my one friend a bunch of chess pieces from Pokemon.
That's very nice. Cool. All right, so who played the king and queen then?
You and Mewtwo.
Nice.
Okay, yeah.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as like weird, or I mean, not necessarily weird, but like my family's always been weird, so I guess everything to me is weird with them. But I was raised Jewish, but also my dad was Catholic. So my mother was Jewish, my father was Catholic. So we always did both Hanukkah and Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah, it was always a thing. So a little known fact about me is I actually used to be able to read, write, and speak Hebrew because at the time we were part of the synagogue and we were going to do a bar mitzvah and a whole fucking thing. Which then it turns out synagogue's very expensive, so we dropped out of that shit.
Oh.
That right. said, there were certain prayers and things like that that I learned, so it's not necessarily a favorite tradition, but it is a tradition where every year I will meet up with my family for the 8 nights of Hanukkah, and we'll do the Hanukkah prayer, light a candle, do a present. But the first night, that is the one that is my favorite, because that's where we do all the, you know, the best Jewish foods, like a noodle kugel, potato latkes, of course, donuts, anything fried in oil is fair game. And a brisket, which is one of the best meats if it's cooked right. Absolutely just love that. So that's probably my favorite holiday tradition, is just getting to go and spend that time. You know, my family, we don't always get along, but at least, you know, during the holidays, we have those moments, which are always great. And,
yeah,
you know, then we do Christmas too, which is just kind of icing.
Man, yeah, I'm a fan already.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely. You're making me hungry over here.
Yeah, like I wish I would have eaten more. Now you're mentioning all those food. Like, oh, brisket sounds really good right now.
Oh, brisket's right? Always good.
Just anything fried in oil right now, I'll take.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
I'm from the South. I can fry anything in oil and make it taste good.
I've always wanted
put
to put
you that challenge.
Yeah, I've always wanted to put that to the test with like a boot or something. Not now, Shrieky, I know you might have thought I just said about, but what I actually meant.
Oh, you're funny, guy.
What I actually meant was, in fact, a boot.
About
oh.
What?
Thank you, Griff.
So, what I'm hearing, Bear, is I have to buy a boot. I have to season it, you know, tenderize it, fry it up, and then send it to you.
Yes, absolutely.
I can get behind that. Yeah.
Did you ever see there's this Japanese, I think it's Japanese, game show.
Oh, I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
Yes, you know, they have to take a bite out of something. And there's like, it could be objects like boots or garden gnome. It could be literally anything. And you have to pretty much figure out if it's a real boot or if it's made of chocolate. And you don't know, obviously, until you bite down. And then next thing you know, you're biting down on the stinky heel of a boot.
I think you and I watch very different Japanese game shows.
We all know what kind of Japanese shows you watch.
Yeah, yeah.
No comment.
Tentacles.
Back to holiday traditions, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Griff, what is your favorite Japanese holiday tradition?
My favorite Japanese holiday tradition? I'm not cultured enough to know about Japanese traditions, unfortunately. I tell you what my favorite tradition is, like, in the world, though, because unfortunately I don't really have any, I'll be honest, except for me, like, just gathering with the family and eating good food.
Still tradition.
But I recently found out, I mean, yeah, right? Like, it's what more do you need than that? Just good times with the family, watch a couple of films, play a couple of board games and things.
Booze.
It's good
booze.
Fun.
Yep.
Booze.
Booze.
Yep. Lots of booze.
Absolutely. So I found out a Spanish thing is a thing called 12 grapes, I believe it's called. This is, I mean, maybe not so much holidays. This kind of does tread into, like, New Year's territory. But they literally, with the chimes of New Year's, they eat a grape for each chime. It's supposed to like symbolize like good luck in the New Year or something. Yeah, there's a lot more backstory to it than what I can give. But, you know, because I don't really have anything like that. And when I read about that, I was like, damn, I need to start something. Maybe not that spans the entire country. I wish I had that power. But yeah, like the chance to make something for yourself. I've been thinking about that a lot recently. Starting new traditions and things. So although I don't have anything yet, I'll definitely maybe steal some of your ideas right now.
See, I kind of like that 12 grapes of whatever.
Yeah, maybe we'll revisit that in next time, seeing as New Year's is quickly approaching. Well,
here's the twist I would put on it. The 12 vodka-infused grapes of Christmas.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Sorry. Or a different spirit for each grape.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah, you never know which one's going to be the good ones and which ones are going to be the ones that do not play well at all.
But those chimes come so quickly, you don't have enough time to like be hit by the bad stuff, really, before the good ones come along, hopefully.
Exactly. Look at us making new holiday traditions.
Buy moonshine and cheese grapes. You can't go wrong.
Ooh, yes. Ooh, man, I don't know.
Oh, I know. I've had many fruits infused with moonshine, and I remember some of them.
So is this like a common thing going on down there, because I've never had moonshine infused food at all.
Same.
Started a few years ago where a Tennessee brewery started like infusing everything they could get their hands on with it.
Okay. Yeah, like, we're missing out.
Yeah, and it made its way out actually to the West Coast as well, because we have like the cinnamon, the cherries.
I still have some of those for my wedding.
Oh god.
Oh nice. I heard that in Japan they were infusing moonshine into chocolate boots as part of their game shows. So I don't know though.
Huh. Canada's getting boring here. What the hell?
I know, right?
You gotta start infusing our alcohol into shit. Maple syrup. Alcoholic maple syrup.
That's really good. My roommate and I made that a few months ago.
What did you mix with it?
Straight moonshine.
Oh, Jesus.
Speaking of actually infusing things, Shrieky,
what
holiday tradition would you like to infuse into this conversation?
Oh, right. That is the topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think what I'm going to go for is our tradition that we always do on Christmas Eve. This has been something we've literally been doing since I was a little girl. And my mom, she used to be a professional baker. She used to do like multi-tier wedding cakes and all that stuff. So she's really good at baking. So by the time Christmas Eve rolls around, we usually have like this hoard of goodies stuck in the freezer from everything she's baked in the last month. That's so like good. Cookies, brownies. I literally can't even think of everything that she usually makes right now.
I mean, that was only two things, but go on.
Well, cookies. That's like a lot of fucking cookies.
Okay? I'm just that's fucking not with just... you, Shrieky. Jesus.
Don't fuck with me. I've had one coffee.
I've had none.
Oh, God. I've had about six today, so I'm pretty
that's
amped.
Your... Whoa, damn. You're... He's had coffee for all of us. Never mind.
True.
But we used to also make... There's this wiener dish. I know it's going to sound bad. Yes, there is. Shut up. And it comes in, like, in this... Oh, this is going to sound... It comes in a thick sauce.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
This is okay.
And all the best wiener dishes come in a thick sauce.
And then you cut up the little wieners.
Oh, that's okay, horrible.
This there got we less go. Good, yeah. There, lost let's just...
Bow.
There, separate that now. So you cut up the wieners and you put it in the sauce. You stick them with toothpicks. And it's ooh, actually ouch. Really, really good. It's like this tangy... Yeah, I'm not going to say the ingredients because you'd probably start thinking it's gross. But it's just a sweet, tangy kind of sauce. I'm going to stop talking about it because it's just wieners and thick sauce. But and then anyways, Christmas Eve, we sit down as a family, and after staring for a month at these baked goods, you finally get to eat them. So we usually just overkill it. We really don't – we make a Christmas Eve dinner, but we really fill up on the baked goods. But and then Christmas Eve comes, and every year we watch the Trailer Park Boys Christmas special, which is maybe a weird Christmas special to sit down and watch as a family, but
I mean, most people do Snoopy or whatever, but yeah, I'm game.
So here's one for UK folks: Vicar of Dibley Christmas special. That's a must watch.
The what?
A Vicar of Dibley was a. It's like a UK comedy show. It's good. It's very good. She has to eat like four Christmas dinners throughout the course of the day.
Oh God!
And ends up having a Brussels sprout eating competition with someone at one. Oh, it's
oh,
well. Come over one day. We'll have to have a Christmas over here. It'll be good. GoFundMe, right?
Yeah, we let's do go that. Fund yeah. A Brussels sprouts eating competition.
But anyway, so at the end of the night, after we're all in our food coma and all that shit, we usually end up going to bed early because we get up for Christmas every year at 4 a.m.
Whoa.
Yep.
4 a.m?
Yeah, that goes back. My dad, when we were growing up, he used to have to work Christmas. And so he'd have to leave at 6 a.m. So we would all get up at 4 a.m. so we could celebrate it together. And then he'd go off to work. So even after he passed away, we just kind of kept up that tradition, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like that. Like, that's a nice, like, you know, keeps that going, right?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, I guess, it became a tradition without us really realizing.
Yeah.
That's how traditions start, though.
Yeah, that's true. That said, we actually ran a little long on that one.
Sorry.
No, not your fault. We all had a lot to say. It's a really good topic. So, you know, thank you, TK, for bringing that one to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was good.
But I do want to move on to the next one because I actually really do like the next topic, the one that Griff has. So why don't you lay it on me, Griff?
Oh, anytime, Bear.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
So, as is the way, I like to bring the more serious of the topics. I was thinking the other day about how there is a lot of people complain around Christmas time, right? The fact that they just, it feels like almost like there's an obligation to be happy. Like, some days you're having a bad day, but it's near Christmas, so you should be happy, and you know, you're expected to be in this good mood. What do you guys think of this this so-called, like, obligation to be happy around the time of year?
TK, do you want to lead us on this one?
I think it's kind of stupid. Like, I am one of those people who, you know, holidays, hard time, lost a few good friends and people I care about. Yeah. I'll be happy for those around me, but me, myself, unless I'm genuinely around people who I care about, I'm just like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, right? I think that in our own spaces, we do, a lot of us do enjoy the holidays. It's when... It's unfortunately there's a lot of other stuff to do with the holiday that you have to grin and bear. So you do like the bare minimum just to kind of be okay.
Okay, that is sometimes... two bear puns I'm passing up here. That's all I'm saying. Sorry, interrupting.
Judy's Christmas gift to bear.
Yeah. Yes, but... you're welcome.
And a tradition here on the show, just harkening back to that last one. So yeah, it's really interesting. I think, like you say, like most of us, I think, have lost people or have those memories that they are a bit more tender this time of year because it is such a family orientated holiday. It's a bit mean to expect everyone to be happy all the time, right?
Well, I think that's it. I don't know if I actually agree that everyone expects everyone else to be happy, because in my experience, it seems like nobody is happy. Everybody is stressed out. Everyone's screaming at each other or honking at each other, complaining about customer service or complaining about the customers. There's so much anger and stress that I feel like, for the most part, up until actual Christmas Day, nobody's happy.
Yeah, that's
and a lot of that is
pretty fair.
Sorry, you go.
No, that's fine. Yeah, that's pretty fair. And I mean, it's kind of like to what Griff was saying. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words, trying to actually get words out because they're catching my goddamn throat. You know, I think there is something weird about this time of year where, you know, there does tend to be, you reminisce on like either people you've lost or, you know, people who almost like sometimes about the people who aren't there, you know, because it is such a family oriented and friend oriented, like, you know, everyone get together and drink, you know, eat and be merry and all that shit. But like, I guess I'll lay something on the table that, I actually wasn't expecting to talk about, but it actually really does pertain to the conversation. I was actually talking to Shrieky a little bit about it last night, where I actually had gotten married, December 14th. So it's like really close to the holidays. This is my first year not celebrating it, you know, as a newly divorced person. This is my first year not actually celebrating it with somebody in the last fucking as long as I can remember. And honestly, I've been, you know, things are good. You know, I'm totally okay with all that stuff and the divorce and everything. And, you know, everything's amicable. Me and my ex are on good terms. You know, I have nothing bad to say about her whatsoever or at all. However, this time of year and going, you know, going from having somebody who was there to not having somebody who was there at all, it actually hit me more than I expected it to, which was a little weird. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things that you think about that you wouldn't normally or ordinarily think about during this time of year for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, and I think, first of all, I don't think it's weird either that you have, you know, it did hit you hard, if that makes sense. I think it's very easy to say that things we feel are weird because they're unusual, but I think that's perfectly understandable.
Yeah.
But it is. I think, like, oftentimes it's a very easy time to sort of go, like, compare to where you were the year before. Because there's a lot of stuff, especially going into New Year's, right? Of, like, where am I now compared to where I was? So it's very easy to get introspective and comparisons.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, yeah.
But I suppose this is the thing about, maybe it is true, maybe no one, at the end of the day, maybe no one is sort of pretending to be happy until on that day when you actually do have a chance to do whatever.
Yeah, actually
traditions and things, yeah.
Be able to sit and actually kind of enjoy that Christmas feeling rather than the stress of the shopping and preparing the dinner and getting all these things prepped beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people out there that like it, though. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, there are some people, they live for this time of year. They absolutely love it, you know, and I can get that and I can respect that. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of those people. I never have been, right. At least, you know, not in the last 5 or so years for whatever reason. I really don't know why, but it's not something I get into, but I can respect and appreciate the people who do get into it, except for fucking Christmas music. But that's a whole
different game. That is a whole different ballgame.
There, yeah. I have not heard Christmas music at all this year, except when I was in the fucking liquor store.
Really? Damn, that's kind of surprising.
Unless I'm playing it myself, it is not played anywhere.
What?
It's kind of strange. I've had a very similar thing this year where I have heard it. I work in a store, so oh god, have I heard it. But it started a lot later this year. I don't know. Maybe there's this thing happening, this global thing where actually everyone's kind of over pretending all the time, right? Because the world's kind of a little bit in a weird place.
Yeah.
maybe we are just kind of a bit more like, you know, we're done with pretending for like 2 months that everything is happy and jolly and stuff. And it's kind of okay to be a little bit grumpy now and then or whatever.
I could see it.
It is never okay to be grumpy.
as an English person, how very dare you attack my culture like that? One of the things I've always loved about being in Britain is that our customer service is basically not swearing at the customer. Like we just don't pretend. Like it's kind of sometimes it can be a little bit when you compare it, especially to like American customer service, which is very much like I don't know if I'm right in saying this, but very much smiles and customers always right and that sort of thing. I think over here we're very much
to an extent. There are some customers who are very fucking wrong.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. But you have like greeters in stores and things like that. It's just not, I don't know. I think we just never have done that. I think we kind of know how we are. And it's almost like a point of national pride that actually our staff just don't give a shit. It's like, yeah, I can respect that actually. Like,
so you guys don't have greeters there at all?
No, not really.
Huh.
Like, it's actually weird if you go into a store and there's someone there saying hi, you feel like, okay, what's going on?
You heard it here, folks. Go to Great Britain, no fucks given.
Yeah, it kind of is a bit like that.
Now I just kind of want to go to Britain and stand there and, like, hold doors open for people greeting them and just rake in the weird looks.
Yeah. Now, if you want to rake in the weird looks, you make eye contact on the subway in London or and things like that. You just, like, I don't know, we're all kind of... It's not meant to sound like antisocial, but I think everyone just kind of knows that everyone's in their own little bubble to a degree. But back to the whole Christmas thing, putting that to Christmas stuff. Yeah, okay. I think it is. I think maybe it's a bit of an overstatement nowadays because maybe people are realizing that it's a difficult time for a lot of people.
I don't know. I think people like us are more cognizant of it, but I don't think it's necessarily like an overarching. Lots of people are cognizant of it because, you know, it goes back to the same thing where, you know, the majority of people, they are, like you said, you know, in Britain, most people are in their own little bubble. And however it is that they're feeling, that's the only thing that matters. And, you know, for better or worse, I'm not necessarily saying it as a negative, you know, inherently negative thing. But, you know, if they're all about the holidays, you know, they kind of look at somebody who's not all about the holidays and, oh, you Scrooge or you Grinch or whatever. But if they aren't all about the holidays, you know, someone who, you know, like me, I look at people who are all about the holidays. I'm like, oh, God, you are so bubbly and I can't take it. You have too much energy. I am very low energy. I just need to go away from you.
Do you think maybe that's the thing then? People who are into the holiday are more likely to call someone out for not rather than someone who's not attacking someone who is. Like, if you're not into it, you're going to remove yourself from the situation probably.
I don't know. I think there's assholes of every color, you know, assholes on each side. I don't think one's necessarily more inherently going to do or call out one or the other. Some people are talkers and call people out, and some people leave well enough alone. And that's true of a lot of different topics and things like that.
Well, look at the whole war between Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I think you mean Winterval. Can we stop this Merry Christmas stuff? So apparently there's a bit of a thing to change Christmas to Winterval to be more inclusive. And obviously going along with Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays.
I think people are too hung up on the words and that people should just focus on the sentiment.
It's more sentiment. Exactly. Absolutely.
I don't care if you say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Friday or Wednesday, whatever day of the week it is. I don't care. I'm going to just appreciate the sentiment that you're saying it to me, that you're wishing me a merry day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as a person who was raised Jewish, I have never like had my skin flayed from my bones by telling somebody Merry Christmas. Like nothing bad's ever happened or come from it. Someone tells me Merry Christmas. I'm like, yeah, that's the predominant holiday. Sure. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like whatever. I know what you're trying to say. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's just change it to winter anus.
Winter what?
Anus? Oh, not what I heard.
Wait, no, let's go back to this winter anus thing. Is that like there's like a light dusting of snow or how does this work?
Well, that's
from an old web comic where a guy's like, just wish everybody happy winter anus because it includes all the holidays.
Oh, winter anus.
See, I heard anus too.
Yeah.
I was picturing that thing where they put blow on the asshole. Too far.
Don't stun do drugs, Silas. Kids. Just a reminder from the Thread Raiders podcast: don't do drugs, especially
drugs are bad.
Not out of someone's asshole. Okay. Jesus, is that a thing I really had to say today, of all days?
Yes. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Speaking of a Merry Christmas, Shrieky. Yes. You have a holiday topic for us. I'm gonna go crazy on the war on Christmas and say a Christmas topic.
Oh, careful now.
Fight me, bro.
No.
Wasn't calling you a bro.
I can't tell.
I meant the angry people who are angry because I said Merry Christmas.
Okay. I'm very upset.
Strongly worded letter.
In the great British tradition.
Yeah, I'm gonna tut. I rolled my eyes as well. I hope you felt that.
Ooh, that's taking it too far, Griff.
Sorry. I'm offended. I'll calm myself down.
Okay. No, my topic is I got talking about this a few days ago on Twitter. We were talking about the Winter Warlock from Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And I realized that he was probably my favorite antagonist / villain from Christmas movies. So I kind of wondered, out of all the Christmas classics that are out there, what was your favorite villain?
I kind of want to take the lead on this because mine is not from any Christmas classic, but it is from ancient tales.
And dun, dun, dun.
Ever since I've heard of Krampus, he's always been my favorite Christmas villain because, I mean, when you think about it, he's not really a villain, is he? He is more like the Punisher of Christmas, you know? Where you have Santa who brings the good, the toys and shit to good kids and boys and good girls and boys. I can't. My brain is all fucked up on food and cold medication. No.
Right. Cold medicine.
The first time.
Anyway, where Santa brings, toys to the good girls and boys and he brings coal to the bad girls and boys. Krampus is like, listen, I don't give a fuck if you've been good. I'm just going to ignore your ass. If you've been bad, however, I am dragging your ass to motherfucking hell. Yeah, great.
Yep.
Because, as most people know, I don't really like kids. Not really big on the whole kids thing. They're sticky and weird and gross. Mm-hmm. So, if every child who's ever screamed at a restaurant got dragged to hell, it'd be a quieter world. And, if Krampus wants to offer that service, I support you, Krampus. Krampus 2018.
Hells yes. No, there was these kids at McDonald's the other day. They literally, shoved me out of the way so they could, look at the toys and their stupid display. Those kids need to go be dragged to hell.
Yeah, Krampus wouldn't put up with that shit. Krampus would be like, hey, come over here. And if the kid said no, he would just, shoot a fucking tendril out of his arm. I don't know exactly how he does it. But he would get that child, he would throw them in a sack, and then just just swing it really hard down until it broke through the earth into hell. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, is that? That's a... okay. See, I didn't know the process of how he got him down to hell, but okay, that explains
it. I don't either. I just have a vivid imagination.
This one I know. It's actually kind of cool. He would beat them with a what looks like a shillelagh and then put him in his sack. And on the eve of New Year, Krampus would return to the dark depths because it's all Germanic tale. So he'd go into the mountains and there was apparently where his portal to hell was.
No, yeah, we already know where the portal to hell is. It's in the UK.
Yeah, it's down in Worthing. Yeah. You need to check your Krampus facts because we've got all of the devil's portals over here. So, I really do like the Krampus, the whole ethos of Krampus, right? It's just, it's not be good and you'll get nice things. It's don't be a dick because if you do, you're going to get beat down. Like, there's something honest about that.
A piece of coal, that's not intimidating any child to be good. No. Oh, a coal, what's up? But come on, being dragged to hell and beaten by a what? What did he beat you with?
A shillelagh.
Yeah, a shillelagh.
It's a Celtic
beating stick.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I like that.
Every household should have one.
Yeah, I live alone and I kind of want one, but that's for my own purposes.
It also shows that he used to play D&D, right? Because I'm pretty sure shillelagh is a druid spell. So,
is Krampus it really?
Big on tabletop. So. Yeah.
I knew it.
I was waiting for Griff's one D&D reference. We get one. Yeah. We always get one. Not that I'm complaining. Love D&D.
No, no. It just depends when. It's always waiting. It's always lurking.
Just like my puns.
That's true.
So yeah, Krampus is mine. I don't know, Griff, what do you have for one?
Mine is less of a person and more of like a time thing. Like at the end of every tale where like the kids had a really good fun with like the friendly snowman or whatever, and then the sun comes out and they just melt and it's like, oh, reality hits. And it's like the fun miracle time of winter and Christmas is over and we're back to the harsh reality of being alone. Like,
oh, that is so dark.
It's more of a concept. It's just winter ending and it becomes warm and none of that winter wonderland can survive that. So I hope everyone was in a good mood before. Here I come.
Yeah.
Crashing through.
You are so goddamn rich it hurts, dude. Like, seriously.
Not to mention that we just don't really get snow. So yeah,
no, you just have dark clouds south over coast. You guys all the fucking time.
Yeah, so I live on the south coast of England, so we have salty sea air, which is not conducive to it. So we just get a bit of snow that kind of lands and then it turns to rain and it just ices over. It causes hell for everyone.
No wonder you're always so goddamn depressed over there in Britain.
I know, right? It's just the way we are.
Like you see the heavenly snow coming towards you, and then God's like, haha, fuck you, now it's sleet.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's just the way I live. Up north, they do get snow, and it does settle. Scotland, for example, I think they get a lot of it. But down here, I'm afraid, not so much. We get a little bit. We can't complain too much. But I do think, so there's, presumably, did the snowman ever reach you guys? It was the animated thing that had walking in the air. The song?
The what?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, that's probably just that is exclusively British then. I didn't realize that. And it is. It's about a snowman that comes to life and basically, just has this, like, the kid makes a snowman, puts a hat on it, it comes to life. They have this magical night where they explore and they fly around in the sky.
Okay, so it's like Frosty.
Frosty the snowman.
Yeah, it's effectively Frosty. And then, yeah, obviously.
Why can't you guys just fucking call him Frosty like everybody else? Why the fuck do you guys have to have different names for everything over there? Jesus,
because
man.
Because he's the snowman. He's not Frosty.
Frosty the fucking snowman. He's always been Frosty. Oh my God.
Like, how many fucking magical hats are going around here?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the real question, right? Like,
is that really the real question?
I think so. It's the only one I care about. I want one of those hats. Why use it on snow? Use it on something that doesn't melt.
Do you have fucking Dingleberry the fucking red-nosed reindeer over there, too? Or, like, I mean, how many fucking...
Dingleberry?
Yeah, Dingleberry.
No, we've got all the classic reindeers. We've got Bartholomew, we've got Timothy, we have the standard reindeers. It's fine.
Yeah, instead of Rudolph, they have Bludolph, and he has a blue nose.
Oh, that's how he got the name. I really thought he got it a different way.
Shut up.
This is a show for the children.
Oh, isn't it?
Originally his name was Richard, so
Richard Bludolph.
Dick.
Oh god damn it.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I had to call you out on that fucking Frosty the Snowman bullshit. I'm sorry, Griff, but
I'm pretty sure the snowman is a classic. There's not just one magical snowman, there can be many of them, and this is just one of them. But anyway, they have fun and then the sun comes out and he melts and he's dead, right? He's doesn't exist anymore. He's dead. That's it. And all your fun is gone and you have to deal with reality. That was my point.
Yeah, which is literally the story of Frosty the Snowman. It's the exact same story.
Right, that's it. So
can we have like a death battle between Frosty and the snowman?
I mean,
that's just throwing water at water. Yeah.
Or is his name just the snowman?
Well, the thing that he's in is called the snowman. We never actually find out his name. He's probably called Gerald
Frosty.
Or something.
His name was fucking Frosty.
He
okay.
could be called Frosty. It's just that's not what the tale's called. And he also has a dog, which is very creatively called the Snow Dog. So,
Jesus Christ. This is worse than Shrieky's puns. This hurts me on a fundamental level.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try harder then.
Please do.
You must try harder.
This movie's on Amazon Prime, in case anybody's
there
wondering.
You go. You can watch
it. I literally don't ever want to watch this.
No, it is good, to be fair. I mean, I've not seen it in a long time, but I'm pretty sure it was good. Maybe?
That was rave review.
Yeah?
I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but back then I remember it being all right.
It was kind of okay. There's a guy that sort of had, like, he got like a whole singing, like opera singing career because when he was young, he sung the song that is from The Snowman. I just didn't realize it was so British. I thought it had spread further out. Do you guys have like
a really low mark for entertainment over there?
How dare you?
Oh.
My culture has been so attacked this show. I can't believe it.
I know. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
We didn't do that to ourselves every day. Like,
I'm just doing my best to be British. That's
you are, actually. That is actually part of the citizenship test over here, is you have to speak derogatively of ourselves at all times. So,
well, I think actually Bear might be more British than you because he likes tea.
Oh, shit. Of course. Yeah, I am. I am in exile because I do not like tea.
I don't like tea. I just drink it because it's good on my throat. And I know how you guys love my sultry voice.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah.
Very, very true. So yeah, sorry. So that went a little bit long-winded.
No, it was good. I love that concept as a villain. Like, I never would have thought of that in a million years. But that is probably the best villain, is the fucking, just the end of winter and the just
the inevitability of time.
Yeah.
So the greatest villain is becoming an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that your greatest villain, TK, or do you have something else?
Yeah, mine is, I love Die Hard. I think it's a Christmas movie.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh, fucking without a doubt it is, yeah.
I put up a thing on Twitter a few weeks ago that Die Hard's the greatest Christmas movie with a hashtag fight me, and I had a bunch of people like send me hate DMs.
Oh my god.
Wow, okay.
So people with no taste, basically.
They're my D&D friends. They're guys who game with me on Friday. Like, we don't want to put this out there in public because you're a GM this week, but you're wrong. I think the greatest Christmas villain is Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he was straight with him. Exactly what he wanted. Like, yeah, if you do what I say, nobody gets hurt. Never lied. Wasn't, you know, trying to mesh words. And then he blew up a building.
I mean, you know, you blow up one building, all of a sudden you're a bad guy. I don't.
Yeah.
If I blow up one building, I'm a terrorist. He blows up one building, he lives immortality in Christmas and becomes Professor Snape.
Yeah. Blow up two buildings, you become the American government.
Oh!
Yeah, that might have been a little
well,
too...
if the NSA wasn't listening before, hi NSA, we hope you enjoyed the show so far.
You just made the list, and this one's not Sansa's.
Am I on the naughty or nice list?
I mean, which one do you want to be on?
Oh, I think you know.
So then you're on the opposite of whatever one you want to be on. Boom.
Done. Krampus is on his way.
Oh.
He says, Krampus is on his way with his shillelagh.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to be beaten.
Is there anything about beaten? Anyway, so what's your topic, Shrieky? What?
What?
I didn't say that Krampus was going to beat you. I said he's on his way with shillelagh. He could just be like, show up, be like, yo, what's up, and then walk away. I don't.
What, just stand in the corner, like, slapping it in his palm, just staring at
Yeah, just, like, fucking make a move.
You know, I could live with that.
Yeah, I couldn't.
No, I'd just drive him crazy with my puns, and I'd just, like,
maybe
walk
that's
around.
His thing. Maybe he's into puns.
You know what? Maybe we can start a partnership. I don't like kids. He likes dragging them to hell. I think we have something going here.
No.
Yeah, Krampus, call me.
So far we've creating the supergroup of Hans Gruber, Krampus, and time itself. basically just ruining all of our Christmas fun. Shrieky, who's the last one to round it out?
Yeah, Shrieky, bring us home with the final Christmas villain.
Well, I pretty much said mine already. I guess I can just go into my reasons. It's the Winter Warlock from Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I love any movie where they start off as the antagonist, and then kind of become like the anti-hero near the end. The whole concept of him, if anyone hasn't seen the movie, is he's this big bad winter warlock, you know, starting blizzards and mayhem and chaos and just blah. And from what I can recall, because this is an old movie, Santa Claus goes and he gives him a little choo-choo train, and it's the first gift and first kind of nice gesture that the warlock had ever received, and it actually melts his heart. And later on in the movie, he starts to slowly lose his magic, but he sacrifices the last bits of his magic to help Kris Kringle get out of jail, and also to give him the very first Christmas tree on his wedding day, Mrs. Claus, and pretty much, yeah, is willing to become completely mortal and normal just to help others out. And then at the very end, he gets his apparently magical abilities all back. Doesn't explain why or how, but the fucking magic of Christmas doesn't matter.
I mean, and yeah,
well, you know what? Go write them then. But yeah, I just like the whole idea that he started off as this evil bastard and then kind of slowly grows to be more kind. Which everyone should be kind and fucking warm and go hug someone right now.
Can you stop pushing your happy obligations on me, please?
Yeah.
No. Because... no. You know what? The UK needs it. Fucking hug someone.
I hug people.
Yeah, the choking doesn't count.
Well, now you're just putting unnecessary stipulations on
things. We don't need to talk about Griff's bedroom activities, okay, Shrieky?
No. We'll talk about those later.
What about headlocks? Do headlocks count as a hug?
I would say so.
I mean...
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. But so of course, my... Griff from the UK...
Oh, am I the... Am I the Christmas villain of the Thread Raiders?
I think you are.
Well, I mean, we always refer to you as the villain. So yeah, this episode, you're the Christmas villain.
Oh,
nobody gave you a choo-choo train, did they?
They didn't, actually. No, that's a lie. I was big into Thomas the Tank Engine, so I got a lot of choo-choo trains.
That might be the most adorable sentence you've ever said, Griff.
Yes.
Hey, what can I say?
Let's just say it again.
Yeah, say it again. Tell us about your choo-choos.
Yes.
What, choo-choo trains?
Yes. Oh my god. I think I can.
All right. Well, we have our villain. I'm not convinced your warlock's really a villain, ultimately.
No.
What do you mean? Oh. That is such a villain.
But he becomes
one that
good,
sacrificed
though.
His magic to bring Christmas to everyone.
But
that's
he
the
started
villain?
Off. You know, he started off as a villain. And then slowly, as the movie progresses, he becomes...
Oh my god, I see why he's the villain. As someone who's not a huge fan of Christmas, the fact that he brought Christmas to everyone makes him the villain. Oh. I get it.
Exactly. There you go.
All right. Now that we've got that settled, thank you so much for joining us today on the Thread Raiders podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Sugar Bear. That's at CPT Sugar Bear. And pretty soon, starting January 8th, I will be running a game of Dread. I will be GMing a game of Dread, I should say, with Travis from Dice Bard and his crew. And I'm really, really excited to be streaming that on Twitch. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Shrieky, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Shriekee. And you can also find me on DeviantArt under the same name.
All right, Griff, where can we find you? What are you working on?
You can find me on Twitter at Griffolion, GRYFFOLEON. And apologies for people that were looking forward to the old D&D stream. I may have been a bit ill and it's been delayed. Starting a new job in the new year, so it's going to be a little bit longer than I was expecting. But keep an eye on my Twitch, Griffolion, same spelling. And hopefully, yeah,
being a Christmas villain is very time consuming.
I like to build people's hopes up and then crash them down. So it was a very me thing to do. Hashtag aesthetic. So, but yeah, keep an eye on the Twitter and hopefully you'll see some info there.
Perfect. And TK, where can we find you? What are you working on, bud?
TK, woo!
Woo! Yeah!
Find me on Twitter. Just look for Kentos88 and you'll find me. And mostly what I've been working on lately is getting a Thread Raiders Reddit up. We do have a subreddit now at r/ Thread Raiders.
Woo!
And then real
quick. That sounds
like
a place that cool people hang out.
Real quick, TK, how do you spell your Twitter handle? Just for the people to find you easier.
Just type in KANTHOS88.
Perfect. All right. And with that, you can also find our podcast at Thread Raider Pod on Twitter. If you have any topics you'd like us to discuss, or if you just want to say hi or fuck you, or you guys really should tone down the innuendo, which I don't think any of you would actually say, you can feel free to email us at raid@threadraiderspodcast.com, or you can go to the contact us page on our website, www.threadraiderspodcast.com. Don't forget to like our Facebook page and join our Facebook community. And, you can find our show on iTunes. I'm working out the Google Play issues right now. There's an issue with the RSS feed for some reason, but you can still find us on Twitcher and most other podcast services of your choice. And last but not least, we do have our final segment of the show where we do a community shout out to somebody in the community that is working on something cool or just somebody who we feel needs a shout out. And today, I would actually like to do the shout out for Clay of Terminally Nerdy. And you can go to his website, terminallynerdy.com. It just relaunched not that long ago. So he's still adding some content to it, but he does really cool reviews. And he's just a really good guy in the Twitter community. You can find him on Twitter at CBSA82. Make sure to pop by, say hi, tell him how much we love him, because he is really just a good guy. He is all about signal boosting other creators and trying to help anybody in the Twitter community become a success. Guy's just got a big heart. He's one of my greatest inspirations for even starting to want to do this show. From our time talking on Discord a while ago. But just an all-around great person and deserves all your love. So make sure to please send it to him. So last but not least, I want to make sure, is there anything else you guys need to add before we call it a day?
Well, pretty much. If anyone wants to share what their favorite Christmas villain was, then I'd love to hear it. So reach out to us on Twitter.
Yeah, if we've offended you by talking about Christmas, come at me on Twitter. I'll take you all on. I might not sound it, but I love Christmas. It's great. Hug the people you love. Tell them you love them. Have a good time. Eat some good food. Just enjoy yourself.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a pleasure to have you. And actually, to that effect, if you do have, you want to share your holiday traditions with us, I know some of us, myself, majorly are curmudgeonly about the holidays, but I would like to hear about, you know, what cool holiday traditions you might be into. So you can definitely tweet it at us or email us. You know, we just always love to hear from you. Just say hi. You know, we always try to respond to everybody as best we can. TK, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for being our first ever guest. I think it was a lot of fun, and hopefully we can have you on again sooner rather than later.
Anytime you guys need a guest or just need somebody who randomly knows a bunch of weird crap, just let me know.
Absolutely.
I think the important thing is it's always weird the first time. So let's not make this, you know, weird now around Twitter, everyone. This is the thing that's happened. We can move past it. We're all adults, right?
Wait, where? Who's a fucking adult? I'm not.
Wait, what? And now, Bear, I hear that you like Christmas puns.
And oh, with no. that, we are
and
out.
I think you'll really like that.
I really hope I got the cut in time on that.
Damn it!